This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Have you ever wondered why you can be intensely attracted to certain people? Are you curious about the wisdom that can be found in dreams and fantasies? Are you pondering having an emotional or physical affair with someone in your life? Well, hold on. This week on Just for Women, we're going to talk with Valerie Harms, author, workshop leader, and consultant, who's going to share with us insight and wisdom from her book, The Inner Lover, Using Passion as a Way to Self-Empowerment. Valerie's going to share with us different approaches to learning how images, dreams, fantasies, and deep attractions to other people are all ways to discover what is going on in our own internal landscape.
I think of them like I'm in a boat and a dream comes along like the wind and the sails, correcting my course. If I'm going off course, a dream will come up to show what might be wrong. It picks up on the daily, your daily existence and maybe even your past to show you what is needed right now. To have a dialogue means that you would describe where the relationship stands. Then you would write a list of the stepping stones of their life, not your life. This would help you see the person as separate from yourself. Then you would dialogue on paper with this person about what is going on, how you feel, and let them speak back to you so that it's really a dialogue. Keep track of your dreams, record your fantasies and imagery experiences, and try to do these dialogue methods. Try to distinguish between your fantasies and the outer person. Just become more aware of them. And don't block any feelings and trust the timing of your psyche. Keep in mind the three wills of desire and surrender wholeheartedly to the intimacy of your feelings and you will be blessed.
Welcome to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman. Today on the show, I'm excited to talk about the inner lover and how loving ourselves first can help us attract the kind of love we long to have in our lives, not just with an intimate partner, but with anyone in our lives. So I'd like to welcome author Valerie Harms. Welcome, Valerie, to Just for Women.
Hi. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And for those of you who don't know Valerie yet, she's the author of several books on women's studies, biography, and children's literature. She is an intensive journal consultant, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. She's also the author of our featured book today, The Inner Lover, Using Passion as a Way to Self-Empowerment. So, Valerie, first off, tell us a little bit about you, your background, and what exactly is an intensive journal consultant?
Well, first of all, I live in Bozeman, Montana. As was said, I went to Smith College. I've been writing books. I have raised a family, gone through marriage, divorce, long relationships, one-night stands, and so on.
You have a lot of experience.
Right. So that's why, and it was in actually a therapeutic relationship where I experienced transference, you know, an intense attraction for my therapist, that I began to see how we project so many feelings and desires onto other people, and that's when I began The Inner Lover. The intensive journal is a journal-keeping method that was designed by Ira Progoff, who was a therapist. He wanted to have a tool for people to use in addition to therapy or instead of therapy. It has ways of working with one's past history, various dialogue sections where you dialogue with your body, your work, other people, inner wisdom figures. It also has ways of working with meditations and also dreams. So it is something I have done for about 25 years myself and worked with Progoff in the beginning. And then he no longer is alive, but I have given workshops for a couple of decades as well. It's very different from ordinary diary keeping, and because it gets you in touch with what you don't know, it kind of stimulates the unconscious and sends forth awarenesses. So that's why I think ordinary diary keeping it's just not as productive as doing the intensive journal. And the workshops are given all over the country. People can get access to them anywhere.
So what are some of the things that you do to stimulate the unconscious with this particular kind of journaling? It sounds really interesting.
Well, for instance, with dreams, you would record a dream, you would go back into the dream, you would kind of describe your associations with the people or the objects or the time period of the dream, and then you, in a way, would enlarge it, perhaps by talking with a person that is in the dream. And then you might, later on at a different point, select a wisdom figure that could be God or a goddess or a tree or a great or a beloved grandmother as a wisdom figure and dialogue with her about your life.
So let's back up a little bit. So there we are, because I dream a lot, and every night I have very vivid dreams, and many times I wake up and I say to my partner, I mean, it's kind of laughable now. I say, I had an amazing dream, or I had a scary dream. And he always asks me what's going on, but I never thought to go back and actually enlarge the dream, like you said. So what do you mean when you say talk to a person in the dream, like have a meditation?
Well, first of all, I think you're marvelously lucky, and that you know, Carl Jung used to say that a dream unexamined is like not opening a FedEx message from your soul.
Wow.
So I think you better get on the stick, Alyssa.
maybe you and I need to do some consulting, and I got to get on this intensive journal. Because really, this is what the interview is about here today. Really waking up to what is going on in our unconscious so we can be more empowered. So
right.
How would I do that?
Well, you would go back into the dream with your eyes closed. But you would have notebook and paper in front of you. Then you would place yourself in the atmosphere of it. You know, notice what sounds are going on, what colors, what the setting is, what the smells are, and maybe it will continue to unfold. It will keep going. That's one way. Another thing is then take one of the people that's in it and on paper talk to the person about what exactly they're doing, what they want from you, what questions, anything that might come up, you know, what questions you have, whether you have any doubts or fears or...
So this is kind of a subconscious, me tapping into my subconscious. Even though my eyes are open and I'm writing now, I'm sort of in this meditative state where I'm actually dialoguing with a part of my dream in real time.
Absolutely, right.
Okay.
And when surprising things come up, that shows that your rational brain is not directing this, but that your unconscious is. And that's what you want.
So I've heard that our dreams are a way of our unconscious mind or our subconscious mind to tell us things that we might not be able to grok, digest, face in reality. Well, is that true?
Well, I think of them like I'm in a boat sailing on an ocean, and a dream comes along like a wind in like the wind in the sails, correcting my course. If I'm going off course, a dream will come up to show what might be wrong. It picks up on your daily existence and maybe even your past to show you what is needed right now, more what you need to be aware of more now.
And I know that there's a lot of books about dream interpretation, how to decipher dreams. So what are some keys that you would recommend for us to decipher these dreams so we know what's needed?
Well, the main dream author that I recommend is Jeremy Taylor. And he's from California too, and gives dream workshops, and he has some great books on it. But his point is too that you shouldn't just read that this means that, and you should think about what that object or person or place in your dream means to you. You know, you'll have associations with it. If Freud thought a purse was a woman's vagina, I mean, that's ridiculous. That is like putting, you know, an arbitrary symbol on something that we just know is not true. I mean, women use their purses for many different things. They carry their valuables in them. It's losing a purse is like losing a lot of your identity in some ways.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to lose my vagina.
And you know, there are some motifs, like going to the dentist or going to the doctor is getting some help, getting something fixed. Animals appear in dreams a lot, and that can be very, very helpful. A wild animal is especially powerful. If you dream about a pet with an injured paw or something like that, it could indicate that there is something about your mobility that is wounded.
Yeah, so basically you're saying not all symbolism in dreams are the same for everyone, that we actually have to look, how is this associated to myself?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so there's Jeremy Taylor, and there's actually doing some of the work you said is going back into the dream, see how it continues to unfold, and actually have a journal there and write it down and start to maybe ask ourselves. And again, I think that's part of the work that you're saying is instead of going out into the external world, go in. So let's talk a little bit more about this inner lover. Okay. It is the title of your book. So what do you mean by inner lover?
Well, the inner lover includes all the thoughts, feelings, and dreams that you hold in your mind about another person, man or woman. And that because what you hold in your mind, the picture you hold in your mind, is different from the outer person's being. For instance, often in workshops, the first thing I do is I ask people to describe what they want as a soulmate, the qualities, and these are all qualities that they think this other person is going to have, and they expect the other person to have. And I say, these are the qualities that you should be developing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of, and it would, you know, if people had that awareness, it would save a lot of demands on the other person because they would realize that, you know, they're projecting a lot.
You know, that is the number one rule. I have definitely heard that before. And when I heard it for the first time, it was really kind of shocking to me to think that I was complaining about things, you know, the lack of something in someone else, and it was actually something I was struggling to have for myself. And it really changed my life, because it's true. I think that is definitely the number one way to destroy a relationship, is to be constantly complaining about something that you're struggling to have in yourself. So I'm glad you're repeating that, because I think it's important for women to hear whatever kind of relationship they're in.
Yes, I do too.
Okay, so, and you talk about projections. Is that a way we project outward what we're actually trying to have for ourselves?
Yes, and projection is going on all the time, whether you're in a marriage, a really long-term relationship, or whether you're just seeing someone at a party across the room. And, you know, it's probably most obvious then, because you don't even know anything about that person who's a stranger. And yet, all of a sudden, you've got all these fantasies going. And that's very, it's just very important to think about them that way. It's okay to act on them, but to just separate in your mind what you're projecting on that person, and then go find out more about what they really think or what they're really like.
Do you have a good exercise for that? Because I could see, and I know it happens all the time, I'll see someone and I'll think, whoa, and that's part of my work to do, right? Like having this moment be enough, having like my life be enough. And it's amazing how automatic it is. Like, you look at someone and you think, oh, life would be better over there, you know, as opposed to the way it is right now. And so do you have some sort of exercise? Because I know it's like, yeah, we're projecting all the time, but how do we stop?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't think you should stop. I think all these thoughts and feelings are very important and can be used creatively. They can be channeled into a creative project of any kind. But the thing that you can do for yourself, let's say if you are in a relationship and you see someone and you think, oh, life would be better with him or her,
let's use that example.
I know. It's a very common one. And it doesn't mean you should leave the present relationship, but notice what those qualities are. For instance, I've seen women extremely attracted to an architect, say, or men of power. That is the most common kind of attraction, simply because women feel more powerless themselves. And they want to be around power. They think that they'll get power by having a powerful man. Right. You know, you've seen that many times.
Sure.
Or a very charismatic man. I think that's what happened with Bill Clinton, just to use a timely example.
Everybody
and Monica Lewinsky.
Him. He's like the example of the world. Right? So you think she wanted... wanted that power.
Yes, definitely. But anyway, what you can do is get to know the other person, be friendly, explore the relationship, have all that erotic feeling stimulate yourself. You don't have to leave your present relationship. You can also journal about it. You can dialogue with this other person to find out what it is you're really attracted to, and also develop these qualities in yourself. The woman who was attracted to this architect that I was mentioning, she went to architectural school herself and developed in that way. You know, she studied. I've seen women fall in love with somebody who lives in the West because they're attracted to the wide open spaces, and they'll move out West instead of actually joining up with the man. Sometimes they join up with the man and it turns out to be a real dud, and the whole thing has been about changing their life.
Interesting. So basically, I like what you said about going into it versus trying to stop it, because I think we think, oh my God, I'm having this intense attraction. This is bad and wrong and I shouldn't have it. Instead, go into it. Be curious. Look and see what's going on here and really like have some boundaries and guidelines around it, that if you are going to get to know this person and explore it, that you actually trust yourself not to get too far into it without losing your sense of decorum.
Right. And this is the passion of life. I mean, you can't follow up on every attraction you have, but they are the spice of life. Mm-hmm. And I have heard women tell me that doctors have given them medicine to quell their feelings of passion. And that's so, that I just hate to hear that, because, you know, love is a life and death matter. It's really full of vitality. And I just, even if it's painful, difficult, it's worth it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that love energy definitely in our second part. I didn't know, it drives me kind of crazy when I hear things about, like, you know, women suppressing themselves. And then, you know, the world and men and people wonder why women have all this pent-up energy and, like, anger and rage. And, you know, it's like, that's why, because for so long we aren't supposed to feel these feelings. So what are some ways that are actually healthy ways for us to deal with energies of rage and anger? Do you have them?
Well, I think it's partly in this journal work that I mentioned, and I will give a systematic advice at the end about how to deal with that, because it's a procedure, and unless you'd like me to do it now, would you like?
Yeah,
to?
I would like the end of what? Let's talk about it now.
Okay. Well, there are several things that you can do. First of all, have ongoing dialogues with this person. And to have a dialogue means that you would describe where the relationship stands between you and that person right now. Then you would write a list of the stepping stones of their life. Their life, not your life, but theirs. So you would spend some time walking in their shoes. This would help you see the person as separate from yourself.
That's a good one.
You know, and then you would dialogue on paper with this person about what is going on, how you feel, and let them speak back to you so that it's really a dialogue. And usually what unfolds is all sorts of meaning about their importance to you and advice maybe about what to do.
So it's like they're when you're dialoguing on paper with the person, where's that information? It's like their subconscious is talking to you through your subconscious?
Yeah. I really think if you get deep enough, you tap into their energy, and it's you're being very open-hearted about it, and you're more or less contacting their heart. You want it to be deep, not superficial.
Got it. Right. Which normally happens when you start getting into intense journaling and writing, like the layers start to peel off and you can really get down to it.
Right. Exactly. And then at the same time, you might identify what are some of these qualities. And once you have identified them, maybe it's that you're very attracted to a movie producer or an actor. But you take steps to do those things for yourself in your life.
Got it.
You know, take a writing course or something.
Well, that's how we do it. Transform that energy into something life-giving for us.
Yes.
Cool. All right, Valerie, let's take a break to support our sponsors. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman. You're listening to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. We're speaking with Valerie Harms. It's funny that you have that name.
Yes, I wish I had Valerie Prosper's.
And we're talking about passion, love, life, transference. And we will be right back.
Listen to Living Green, Effortless Ecology for Everyday People, a weekly online audio program featuring champions of sustainable living at personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman. We are having a very interesting conversation with Valerie Harms, the author of The Inner Lover, Using Passion as a Way to Self-Empowerment. And before the break, Valerie gave us some really awesome tools and techniques for understanding what is going on in our dreams, what is going on when we have intense attraction and passions for other people, and transforming that into knowledge and growth for ourselves. So, Valerie, thank you for all of that. Really great stuff. Now I want to talk a little bit more about women, some of the issues women are dealing with as opposed to men, and get a little bit deeper in that realm. In your book, you talk about, you call it the inner marriage. And I know that some of my girlfriends and I have been talking about having commitment ceremonies to ourselves before we get married to our partners. So what do you have to say about that? Is that what you're talking about with the inner marriage?
Well, I think that's a great idea, and that's a symbolic, you know, showing of an inner marriage. I think that is just terrific. What I actually meant was that in your fantasies and in dreams of weddings, specific weddings, are there things that get in the way, or are they consummated perfectly, happily? And you see, in your fantasies and dreams, you can't control them. So in some ways, it's your soul speaking. And sometimes you'll have dreams of weddings, but there won't be any food on the table. Or you'll show up in a torn dress or something like that. And those are important details to explore about what is preventing a perfect union within myself. And actually, the inner marriage is when all those elements within yourself are all lined up and the male and female aspects of yourself join happily. And having, and you know, those ceremonies of commitment to oneself is a perfect example. I think that's a great thing to do.
So you're saying that one way to actually have that perfect union within myself is to have a ceremony like that? What are some other things?
Well, I'd be very interested in seeing it after you have such a ceremony, whether that provoked a dream for that night that showed what is your inner state about it, that had a, you know, that was a comment on the way it really stands between you. I mean, your intention can be one thing and expressed in a ceremony, but in a dream about it, maybe the man doesn't show up, you know, and why would that be?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You know, and that's something, that would be something in yourself, not about another person, but some masculine element that is not supporting you.
I see. Right. So dreams always, you're saying, come back to ourselves. It's not like another way to, you know, project onto someone, well, I had a dream and you weren't there and la, la, la.
Exactly.
Right. So you're saying it's more about lost aspects of my own masculine identity, mm-hmm. maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, what if people want to dream, but they can't?
Yes. Well, then they have to meditate or allow themselves just to get quiet and image, you know, see what imagery comes. Everyone I know can lie down on the floor and close their eyes and just chill out. And usually a lot of images will come that your rational mind is not directing. And that's what a person can do.
Okay, so start meditation.
Yeah. I think for a lot of women, their first experiences with the masculine in themselves begins with their father. You know, and that's going to be something that will have to be dealt with. And then there are the early crushes that women have. You know, what type of boy did they like at first? And then the image of the type of man you're attracted to usually changes over time as you become more sophisticated yourself. So that's kind of interesting to note too. But you always want to have that supportive inner partner as well.
So are you suggesting we do a sort of man chronology?
And yes. Mm-hmm.
See what the aspects have been in those relationships and loves?
Yes. Yeah, that's a very good thing to do.
And then that will show, well, clearly it's going to show how we've grown and matured, but are there some things in the underneath that we could be looking for?
Yes. You know, many women complain about always ending up with unsupportive men or ones that are really impossible or difficult or wrong for them, destructive even. Now, you can go back and see where that might have originated. Where did your own self-esteem or bad judgment of yourself, you know, begin? And once, you know, I also think a great book is He's Just Not That Into You. Do you know that book?
I've heard of that. Greg.
Greg. He was one of the writers on Sex and the City. And he lays it out in no uncertain terms what women should not settle for. You know, where the signs are very plain about when somebody doesn't care for you.
Right. And we want to make it into a big drama and question fest. Well, what does that mean? And it's really pretty clear because men are just kind of honest.
Yeah, and I think that should be acted on right away, you know.
So you're asking us to sort of wake up, you know, like here's your dream. Here's the patterning that you start to see in your dream. Here's what you can see that's missing. And don't avoid it. I mean, I think that's what Greg is saying to us. Like, don't avoid what's plainly there.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
saying that comes out in our chronology. It also comes out in our dreams. It comes out in these images that immediately get spurred when we're attracted to someone. And it's actually slowing down and looking at, why did I just have that thought? Why did I have that sensation in my body? What is going on with
exactly.
me? Yeah, okay, great.
And your body is part of your soul, too. Body is psyche. And so the feelings that you have in your body, and I always, you know, are very true and should be respected. I always say the body doesn't lie. And in sex, that is especially true. And you can tell a lot in a sexual relationship.
Well, let's talk more about that. How is the body connected to the soul? I haven't heard it talked about in that way specifically.
Well, it is. I mean, Carl Jung said it. It's because our bodies contain our emotions. We verbalize emotions that we feel in our bodies. Like we can tell when our heart's racing, when we're excited. These are body feelings. These are physical sensations. And when we're lying in bed with someone and we're feeling like we'd rather turn over and, you know, turn the other way, that is something that should be paid attention to and not just passed over. If we are resisting or cringing at someone's touch, that's a message. On the other hand, if we feel, I know in my life, I've experienced partners that I am more open with than I am with others. And it's hard to explain why that is. And I think it's perhaps some element of relaxation in the other makes it possible for me to be more relaxed too.
So what is the soul saying to us if we are in bed with our lover and we're not interested in being sexual?
Well, I don't think it's always true that this person is not good for us. It might be that you just need to, you might be tired, you might be physically, drained at that, worn out for some reason. You might need to be talking about something. You have to see what is really happening. Maybe there's some issue that's being avoided in the relationship, or maybe it's coming to an end. I don't think all relationships should last forever, especially when we live so much longer at this time. I think relationships are like plants, flowers, in the way that they have seed times, flowering times, times when they need to fade away and then go underground like tulip bulbs do. They need to be in the cold and the dark for a while and then have a new phase. They're cyclic. And perhaps, a relationship has a beginning, middle, and end that we need to respect too.
Okay.
A lot of people these days think relationships have to last forever, and they're very reluctant to leave them.
Yeah. It sounds like to me if women are in a relationship where they're having difficulty being sexual, most often that is an indicator of something in their past, something intense that's going on and that needs to be addressed. And like, that's why relationships are so amazing, is because, we can live our ordinary lives and maybe have superficial relationships, but when we really start to get into it with lovers, that's actually where a lot of the work is going to be done, and which is why it's so important to have lovers who are kind and generous. And I think this chronology work, if women want to take that on, is really a place to see, am I beyond having relationships in my life that don't work, that might be less than spectacular, and what was actually going on there? Am I doing this again? And those are really some big red flags.
Yes.
Okay, so...
And being patient, if you can be patient and forgiving and have a partner that's patient and forgiving, you can accomplish a lot. A lot,
right.
And get a good degree of intimacy.
And I guess that's the perfect place to start, because if we are there frustrated, being sexually repressed, not able to communicate, maybe we shouldn't even be in a relationship at that time.
Yeah.
Maybe the patience that we need to have is with ourselves, maybe get into some kind of support group, women's group, therapy, something, so we can actually attract those qualities. Exactly. I see where it comes full circle. We have those qualities for ourselves that we started to look for in other people.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So we have to wrap up, but I wanted to end with, you have this really great checklist.
Yes.
at the end of your book. Talk to us about some of the things on the checklist that we can do to do this sort of inner lover work over time.
Well, I suggest that you keep track of your dreams, especially with the lovers in your life. Record your fantasies and imagery experiences and try to do these dialogue methods. If you can take an intensive journal workshop, so much the better. Try to distinguish between your fantasies and the outer person. Just become more aware of them. And don't block any feelings. And trust the timing of your psyche. Keep in mind the three wills of desire, yours, the others, and the relationship itself. That would be the history of the relationship. And surrender wholeheartedly to the intimacy of your feelings, and you will be blessed.
Oh, my God, you just dropped a bomb. I have so many questions now. Well, let me just ask the three wills of desire.
Yeah.
His, mine, and what's the third one?
The relationships. We didn't talk about the triangle. There's always a triangle. Yourself, the other, and the relationship itself. And usually that has to do with an obstacle in the relationship, where it could be that one wants the other to not work so hard, or maybe there's an illness that has to be contended with. Some element that is like a bone that the two are both gnawing at. And that affects how the relationship will unfold. And that's what I think it has to be respected to over the course of time.
It's interesting to think about, I have desire, my partner has desire, and then there's the desire of the relationship that gets born.
Yeah.
How do we address that?
Well, by being aware, and also you can dialogue with the relationship too. Like, what is this relationship asking of me? Where is it wanting to go? You know, describing on paper what its history has been, going into the various steps that how you met the person, what happened next, how it unfolded. Maybe there were gaps in time between you and when they got together. And then, you know, from time to time, go back to it and talk about what's happening. And sometimes when there is a difficulty where you don't seem to be able to talk to the other person about what's going on, having this dialogue first will make something unfold, and then you can go back and talk about it.
Now, if I was a single woman, could I do this, ask the future relationship what it wants, so I would know the kind of man, when he shows up, who would actually provide that?
I think that's a head game, in all honesty.
I'm not
yes,
very
you
heady.
Can. You can. But, you know, that's a little much bit like projecting about a soulmate. And just, you know, it's a fine exercise to do. But, you know, that way you might miss a frog who came along.
Right, right. I'm always trying to help out my sisters. Okay, so we don't want to miss the frogs by projecting too hard into the future.
Yeah.
But then again, what about these vision boards and dream journals? And, like, where's the line between fantasizing and dreaming about what we want and then not getting lost there? I mean, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, yeah. You just have to be careful that the fantasizing and the vision boards don't prevent you from seeing the person you meet at Starbucks or something, you know. The reality of the everyday.
Right, right, yeah, and, you know, but it's interesting because a girlfriend of mine, we did vision boards 3 months ago, and she did hers about her relationship. I think they were vision boards about relationships, because I talk about that in my book, the importance of having a physical display about what you want, and she met the most incredible man. I mean, it's still in the honeymoon stage, so we're going to see how it goes, but we just sat there and looked at each other, and I said, see, He's tall. He's gorgeous. I mean, it's not like they don't have their stuff to work out, but he's very much in alignment with really what she had put on this vision board. And I think there's a lot of credence in that.
Yes, yes. I think that's great.
Okay, but I do like what you said about ask the relationship what it needs. And we can either do that alone or with a partner.
Yes.
Maybe do a little bit of meditation.
Yes. Doing it alone is like taking a chemical solution and then just adding a drop of a color to it, or, you know, that changes the solution. And if I was just saying to do it on paper, if you're up against something that confuses you or that makes you very angry and you're not ready to articulate your anger yet, you know, but you want to find a way to express it maybe more tactfully or to really understand it. It's better to do something like that on paper before than taking it to the person.
Got it. That's definitely a way to diffuse that first level energy.
But the anger is important, you know.
Yeah, and I like what you're saying about not suppressing that, but flowing it into writing and flowing it into asking yourself and also this other dynamic of the relationship, what it wants. Cool.
Flowing it into dressing more colorfully.
Okay, so Valerie, tell us how we can find you. Give us your website. How do we get your book?
My book can be ordered from Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or any place like that, or your any local bookstore. My website is www.ValerieHarms.com, ValerieHarms. And that will lead you to me.
And you're doing the intensive journal workshops, your book is there, and you do private coaching as well, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, great. So listeners, check out Valerie Harms and her book, The Inner Lover, Using Passion as a Way to Self-Empowerment. Really great stuff contained in there. And also remember that you can email me at Alissa, A-L-I-S-S-A, at personallifemedia.com. I'd love to hear your comments, any ideas you have for topics you want to hear on the show. I know we're going to have to get Greg Bernhardt, I think his name. Bernhardt?
Right.
on the show and go a little bit deeper on... you know, his whole take on he's just not that into you. Also, for text and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. Don't forget, you can get a copy of my book, Alissa's Four Cornerstones to Living Your Dreams, also on Amazon.com. So again, Valerie Harms, thank you so much for being on Just for Women today.
All right. Thank you, Alissa.
Yes, I'm your host, Alissa Kreitman, always expanding your choices here on Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. Please tune in next week when you'll hear more juicy news you can use.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.